name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 29th of August, 2009, and the time is 19 minutes past 6 in the morning. If you could tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please.
Okay, my name is Nicola Swanborough. I'm 49, and I come from Crowthorne in Berkshire.
Thank you. When was it you found out about the One Another Project?
I have followed the plinth all the way through, and I've also been a fan of Anthony Gormley ever since The Angel of the North, probably. So I couldn't say when the two married together, but I'd come up to London for some reason and had a couple of hours to spare, so I went to the National Gallery to have a look around at the art, and they had the exhibition of there were about six exhibits which you couldn't vote for, but you could comment on, and I particularly liked Anthony Gormley's project, so I commented that I would that would have been my choice, and when it was chosen, and there was some publicity then about One Another and Artichoke, so I instantly went online. I think I was one of the first to register with the website. I don't know about actually for a place. But that is literally it. I just thought it was such an amazing idea, actually, to have real people up there. But I must say that when I registered, because I'm not at all an exhibitionist, I'm very much somebody who likes to be in the background, I thought it was an opportunity to stand and observe rather than be observed. And I didn't realise there was a webcam link with SkyArt. And since the project has unfolded and I've seen people watching on computer, I thought, thank goodness I didn't get a place on the plinth, because I would have nothing to offer entertainment-wise. However, because I got a cancellation and I was sort of put on the spot, and since I've applied, I've started working for a charity as a journalist. So it all sort of married together. I thought I just couldn't turn down the opportunity to be involved in such a project. And also another reason for me applying to go on the plinth, which was a bit more subconscious, I think, is that I do suffer quite badly with vertigo, and at the same time I'm drawn to heights. So I thought it would be a good test to see if I could overcome my vertigo by standing on the plinth.
What is it you're going to be doing for the duration of the hour?
Initially I had thought, until yesterday, because obviously I've only had 48 hours to prepare, and until yesterday I was quite gung-ho that I would just stand and observe, perhaps have my breakfast up on the plinth, which would be quite exciting, and write my diary, which I write on a daily basis. And so I thought that would really be enough, and sort of just watch London wake up and see what was happening in Trafalgar Square. But then, I don't know, I think yesterday, as I was walking along Baker Street on my way to work, I suddenly thought, no, I've got to make use of the slot for the charity that I work for. It's too much of an opportunity to miss. But I only then had a lunchtime in which to arrange anything. So I texted and emailed all my address books on my computer and on my mobile phone, and asked them if they would like to join me in name on the plinth. If they texted me, I would put their name on a wipe clean board, and then they could make a donation to the charity. So basically I will be writing the names and holding the names up, and that's about it, really. And I've got some friends coming along who are determined that we're going to sing, so And I still think it will be lovely to observe and to be part of the project. And also part of me feels it would be nice to experience what it must have been like, not that anybody's been hung by the gallows or anything on a plinth, but the likes of Charles II, who had to step out over London and the crowds underneath, and what it must feel like that to be above and in a moment of history, really.
And can you tell us a bit about the charity that you work for, what it is and how you got involved with it?
Yes, it's the National Society for Epilepsy, which is a national charity that really works to change the lives of people, to support and help and research, well, to help and support people with epilepsy. I think 1 in 20 people experience a seizure in their lives. The charity also is involved in a lot of groundbreaking research into epilepsy, looking at the genetic reasons for the condition, and trying to really move the boundaries forward. And they're making a lot of inroads in terms of brain surgery and coping with the condition. And I got involved in the charity, really. I've been a journalist all my life, but I think I probably got a little bit fed up with the superficial side of journalism. And you can end up writing a lot of throwaway rubbish, a lot of good stuff as well. But I felt I would like to use my skills to something that would mean something to people and would make a difference. I don't think I'd ever heard of the NSE prior to getting the job. And certainly I did know people with epilepsy, but it had gone straight over my head, really. It just hadn't registered. So it's been a real life-changing experience, actually, working for the charity.
And what would you say is are the kind of the most important things to you at the moment in your life, in your career, in your own life?
Oh, right. I think still my children, my four children. I've got four children ranging in age from 23 to 15, coming up for 16. And I think they're still very, very central to my life. And obviously the rest of my family and my friends as well, but yes, my four children.
Can you tell us a bit about your children and your family background?
Yes, yes. Well, I've got two daughters and two sons. My eldest daughter works for the Royal Collection, so she works at Buckingham Palace, having done a degree in English. My eldest son is an apprentice chef at a restaurant in Mayfair, Wilton, so he's very happy doing that. And then my younger daughter has just done her AS levels and is about to start on her A levels, then hopes to go and travel and perhaps do something in performing arts. She would be much better up on the plinth than I will be. And then my youngest son is just coming up for his GCSE year. So he's just come back from Reading Festival and is starting a newspaper round in about an hour, I hope, if he remembers to get up.
And tell us about your career in journalism. How did you get into journalism?
Well, I think I drifted in a way. I always wanted to be a writer, but when I was 18, I certainly had no voice and I had nothing to write about. And I didn't want to go to university. I particularly didn't want to go to university because I didn't like Shakespeare, which was quite foolish. So I think I drifted into journalism really as a means to writing. In spite of the school that I went to, in spite of their attempts to stop me going to journalism because they said I wouldn't be strong enough or pushy enough. But I have really loved journalism. I love meeting people. I love people's stories. And funnily enough, when I sort of took a step back from journalism, the first time I went on maternity leave, I then said that I would, which was 23 years ago, I wouldn't be bored because I would be writing from home and would catch up with Shakespeare. I would be reading the whole collection of Shakespeare. That was before I knew anything about being a mother. And funnily enough, I have just started reading my way through Shakespeare's plays, and they are just fantastic. So I was going to bring the Taming of the Shrew up onto the plinth and read it up there, but since trying to raise awareness for epilepsy, I left the book at home.
And can you tell us what impact would you like your hour on the plinth to have and the project as a whole to have?
Well, I think my own personal impact, I would like to raise some money for the NSE and raise awareness of the society. I think I would also like it to be a memorable occasion for my children and also for my husband, and for them to have that link in years to come with Anthony Gormley's project and with London. and also to well, hopefully to inspire them in the future to do things which are a little bit more offbeat, the things that they're going outside their comfort zone, which I am. I'm stepping outside my comfort zone by standing on a plinth high up and having people look at me. And the project as a whole, I think, has just achieved so much. I think it's really added to London, added to Trafalgar Square. And I think it shows in a way that perhaps in a much more dignified way than the likes of Britain's Got Talent and the reality shows. I think it just shows what an amazing, rich tapestry of people there is out there.
And who would you say you're doing this for?
Well, for the National Society for Epilepsy, for my family, for my friends, and for myself, and to support Mr. Gormley.
And you mentioned your admiration for his work before as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that appeals to you?
Yes, well, I think, I assume it would be classed as conceptual art. I mean, I'm not enough of an expert to really know, but I think his his art, although it's very modern, it's very accessible. And I think he's got a great empathy with people. He's very in touch with people, and I think that's what appeals to me. I mean, the Angel of the North, I think if I stood back, I would say, oh, I don't know that I particularly like that, and yet I think it has such impact. It's, you know, if somebody said to me, oh, you know, what would you like to see there on the side of the road? I don't think I'd have thought of an angel with wings, as in Anthony Gormley's Angel of the North. And yet I think it is so fantastic. I think it works so well. Yes, and I think also I have felt inspired by the other artists whose work has been up on the plinth, particularly... I think it was Mark Quinn's Alison Napper. Alison Napper is such an inspiring character. And Mark Wallinger's Ecce Homo, which I think both had huge impact. And I think as well those were both accessible, whereas some of the other exhibits on the plinth I haven't perhaps understood quite so well.
So how does it feel being one of 2,400 people that they get to experience an hour of their life, of their time on top of it?
Well, it feels very, very special, very lucky. And I feel triply lucky in that I've got a cancellation spot. So I hope that I hope that the person who I'm replacing, that I will do them justice and that, that nothing ill has befallen them in any way. And I don't know why they were going to stand on the plinth, but I would hope to represent them in a dignified way as well. And yes, I think another reason that I, over the last sort of 48 hours, thinking why I would want to stand on the plinth is that we have very little time to sort of to take out of time to stand and look and just have an hour to yourself in London and a space like that in London to yourself. So yes, I think I feel incredibly privileged and excited. And nervous.
I was just going to ask, so what's the emotional journey been like from first hearing about it to going through the process of finding out to preparing to being here?
Well, I think, yes, initially I was disappointed not to get a slot on the plinth. Then when I saw people tuning in on their computers at work and commenting on the plinth, it's not in a nasty way at all, but just gathering around the computer to watch. And I thought, well, thank goodness I didn't get a place on the plinth because I don't like being looked at all. And then we had somebody from one of our charity supporters who went up on the plinth. I was full of admiration for her. So I've obviously been involved as a journalist in covering her story and getting publicity for her. and again, I was saying, well, thank goodness it's her and not me because I would have been no fun up there. And then of course the call came and put me into total panic when I had half an hour to decide if I would go on the plinth or not. And I talked it through with a colleague at work and I think I talked myself into it. I thought, I've got to go for it. I would have regretted it all my life if I hadn't done it. And now I think I feel buoyed up by the support of my family and friends. And certainly I think certainly a couple of my children wish they could do it. And I think when I applied, I thought I would be able to hand it on to somebody else, which obviously you can't. So yes, I feel very excited. I'm looking forward to it. And I'll be glad when it's over. But I want to make the most of every minute. And I feel, I think I feel much more self-confident in that I've had such a good response to my emails and texts, so I can add lots of names. And that's a lovely contact, and it's a very warm feeling when you realise how charitable people are. I mean, I know you only have to ask and people give, but it feels very, very, a very warm feeling and very, very personal. So yes, I feel very privileged to know all those people, actually.
Thank you very much.